But for this morning, I want to invite you to read together Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. So this is the inspired, therefore, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and equip us for good work. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. So, dear friends, every church has a hill that it will choose to die on. Every congregation has something that they consider to be non-negotiable in the aspect of their congregational life. So for some churches, it might be their theological conviction. For some congregation, it might be their worship styles or their dress code in the church. For others, it might be something really petty, like whether to serve chocolate cookie or regular cookie after service or fellowship. But you get the point. Every church has something they consider to be non-negotiable, something that they will never compromise in the congregational life. And I'm sure many of us have our own view as to what should be non-negotiable in the life of Christ Presbyterian Church. So let me ask you, what do you think, dear friends, Christ Presbyterian Church should to die on? What hill do you think we should choose to die on? What aspect of congregational life do you think Christ Presbyterian Church should consider non-negotiable? What do you want people to think when they hear about Christ Presbyterian Church and say, "Oh yeah, that church is all about this or these"? Well, this morning we continue our study on Book of Acts, and we now come to chapter 6 of this magnificent book. But as you may have gathered from the public reading of the scripture, this morning's text is not off to a good start, because it testifies to us of one of the most embarrassing and shameful moments in the history of the early church. As you see from today's text, Luke records to us that there was certain disunity, a certain tension within the early church, within the body of Christ, a tension that became so serious that the apostles had to address it, that they had to resolve it for the well-being of the early church community. But it is through this occasion, this ugly and painful occasion, that we are introduced to one of the most important lessons in the scripture. As the apostles sought to work through the tension that existed within the early church, they revealed to Christians and to the early church believers some things that should be considered non-negotiable in the life of the early church. So this morning, I have 2 aims that I want to accomplish with you. First, I want to examine with you what it is, what were those some things that the apostles considered to be non-negotiable in the life of the early church, and why they considered them to be non-negotiables. And accordingly, second, I want to persuade all of you that what the apostles saw as non-negotiables, that we, Christ Presbyterian Church, should also see as non-negotiables in the life of our congregation. So in order to help you understand where I'm going with today's text, let me submit this proposition to you, this big idea or this big picture from today's text. Well, dear congregation, in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, the 12 apostles teach us that gospel preaching and gospel service are two non-negotiables in the life of a Christian church. Let me say it again. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, the 12 apostles teach us that gospel preaching and gospel service are two non-negotiables in the life of a Christian church. Well then, having submitted the proposition, let's jump into this morning's message. And as we do this, let's first briefly talk about the context or the background of today's text. That is, what exactly happened in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Well, according to Luke, today's text came about as the early church continued to grow in number exponentially after the apostles had been released from their trial before the Sanhedrin. We don't exactly know how many days or months have passed at this point of the text, but Luke tells us that the apostles' fervent labor in ministry bore much fruit, as many people continued to join the early church and believe in their message. But now, it is during this time of great spiritual harvest, we are told, a serious and significant problem arose in the early church. So look with me once again, verse 1 of today's text. Luke testifies to us, "Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." Now, let me just quickly clarify to you that many commentators and theologians have a different view as to what Luke is recording here. Some commentators, for example, think that verse 1 speaks of the presence of racism within the early church community, you know, due to cultural, linguistic, and social difference. These commentators suggest that the Hellenist widows were neglected and discriminated against the Hebrew widows when it came to the daily distribution. But other commentators or other theologians think that verse 1 simply speaks of the administrative failure within the early church as it continued to grow in number exponentially. So just as a megachurch pastor could never account for all the needs of 6,000, 7,000 congregants, these commentators think that, well, the early church finally hit the limit of its administrative capacity and that they accidentally and unintentionally neglected Hellenist widows when it came to the daily distribution. So they are saying that this was just a pure unintentional mistake. But whatever the case may be, we can know one thing for sure. That is, by this point of the text, the early church community sadly became a place where Luke can no longer describe as a no needy person was among them. Do you remember how Luke described in Acts chapter 4, verse 25, that there was no needy person among the early church? Sadly, now the community became a place that needy people were among their congregation. And for that matter, unlike what Luke wrote in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, the early church community now sadly degenerated into a place where real and clear tension and disunity existed between two ethnic groups, Hebrews and Hellenists. And this tension and disunity erupted itself as the Hellenist Christians said among themselves, "We had it enough. We can no longer just see our Hellenist widows being neglected in their daily distribution." Well then, how did the apostles handle this delicate and sensitive issue? I mean, I'm sure many of you understand how sensitive and delicate racial issue can be, right? You know, especially when there is a tension and disunity between two ethnic groups within a church, it can easily cause a church to split. So how did the apostles handle this delicate and sensitive issue of racial tension and disunity within the early church? Well, much to our intrigue, Luke tells us that the apostles handled this matter in unexpected way, as they spoke unexpected words to all those who gathered before them. So let's jump into the first point of today's sermon, the primacy of gospel preaching in the life of the early church. The primacy of gospel preaching in the life of the early church, as Luke records in verse 2 of today's text, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." Now, let me just pause for a moment to ask you to imagine that we were the Hellenist Christians in the early church community. Imagine for a moment with me that we were the Hellenist Christians living in the early church community. We have been seeing over and over again how our fellow Hellenist widows have been neglected in their daily distribution, when it seemed like our fellow Hebrew widows have no problem receiving their due support. So we've been raising our concern over and over again. You know, we've been telling people that, well, this is not right. And when complaint finally broke out from Hellenist Christian, we hear that the apostles recognize the significance of this issue and that they summon everyone together so that they can resolve this matter once and for all. So many of us are happy. We are excited. You know, we tell each other that, well, we knew that the apostles cared for us. Some of us are even excited to find out about this grand new plan that the apostles will propose to us, you know, to fix this broken system. But as we stood before the apostles, we hear these unexpected words from their mouths, as they tell us, "Well, brothers and sisters, we are very sorry, but we cannot spend our time and energy to take care of your Hellenist widows. Or for that matter, we don't think God will be pleased for us to spend our time to serve the table." Well, if you hear those words from the apostle's mouth, how would you respond? I think it is safe for me to assume that some of us might be shocked to hear these words. Some of us might be upset, especially if you were one of the Hellenist widows neglected in the daily distribution. Perhaps many of us might think to ourselves, "Well, Mr. Apostles, what do you mean that you cannot spend your time and energy in caring for our needy and poor widows? I mean, you are the leaders of the early church. If you don't care for us, who would?" I'm sure many of us will think to ourselves, "And what do you mean that God will not be pleased for you to take care of the Hellenist widows who are neglected in their daily distribution?" I mean, wouldn't you think like that? But today's text tells us that this is precisely how the 12 apostles responded to those who gathered before them. We are told in verse 2 that, "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right,'" or "it is not pleasing to God," as some versions of the Bible puts it, "that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve table." In other words, we are told that the apostles said, "We cannot spend our time and energy to serve table, because then we'll have to give up preaching the word of God." But how? I mean, why? I mean, why did the apostles say these words? I mean, what was so significant about the preaching of God's words that they said we cannot serve table? I mean, many of us understand that preaching is important, but is it really any more important than serving the poor and needy people in the community? After all, doesn't the scripture say that the true and pure religion before God is to visit the poor and visit orphans and widows? And if that is the case, how can the apostles say we cannot serve the table because we have to preach? Well, we know that one reason why the apostles insisted on their preaching is because preaching was indeed the primary and exclusive task that they were called to do in their ministry. I mean, do you remember how Jesus Christ commanded the apostles to preach before he ascended into heaven? In Acts chapter 1, what did Jesus say before he ascended into heaven? He said, "You, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power, and that you will be my witness to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So Jesus Christ specifically commanded the apostles to be his witness, to preach the gospel. And for that matter, do you remember how the angel of the Lord reminded the apostles to preach the gospel in Acts chapter 4? In Acts chapter 4, when the angel of the Lord freed the apostles from their imprisonment, what did the angel say to them? He said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak all the words of this life to the people." So the apostles understood very well that their primary task was to preach the word of God. And that's why they insisted on preaching in today's text. They said, we must preach the word instead of serving the table. But here's another reason that we must recognize the apostles' insistence on preaching. And that is because the apostles understood that preaching was not just an intellectual act that informs people's mind. No, rather, the apostles insisted on preaching because they understood that preaching was a spiritual act where they throw spiritual banquet for people and invite people to eat and drink of the bread of life and the water of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They understood that preaching was no other than what the Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 verse 1, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." They understood that when they preached, they were no other than inviting people to listen diligently to them and eat what is good. So why did the apostles insist on preaching the word of God? Because they knew that they were called to serve a spiritual bread, not just a physical bread. Because they knew that God had called them to set the spiritual table instead of a physical table. And this is why the apostles said, it is not right or pleasing to God for us to serve a physical table in expense to a spiritual table. So we see in today's text in verse 4, that the apostles emphatically said, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." They said to all those people who gathered before them, "We are called to preach the gospel. We are sent to set the spiritual table before people so that they may eat the spiritual bread of life." So in this way, we are first and foremost introduced to the primacy of gospel preaching in the life of the early church. They consider it to be non-negotiable. But does this mean that the apostles did not care about the physical needs of the Hellenist Christians? Does this mean that the apostles simply brushed off the complaints that raised from the Hellenist Christians in the early church? Well, certainly not. Today's text continues, and it tells us that after the apostles emphasized the primacy of gospel preaching in the life of the early church, that they also point out to the importance of gospel service in the life of the early church as well. So let's jump into the second point of today's sermon, the importance of gospel service in the life of a Christian church. the importance of gospel service in the life of the early church. As we read in verse 3, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So what did the apostles commanded the Christians in the early church to do? Well, today's text tells us that the apostles understood very well that physical bread was as equally important as a spiritual bread. They understood very well that it was not right for the Hellenist widows to be neglected in their daily distribution. And the apostles understood very well that this must be fixed. And since they cannot abandon the duty of distributing the spiritual bread, we are told that the apostles decided to delegate this important task to 7 capable men so that they can distribute physical bread to those who are in need. And verse 3 tells us very specific qualification as to who these 7 men were ought to be. We are told, first of all, that these 7 men had to be men who had a good repute, meaning that these 7 men had to be a man who were held with honor, who were recognized to be a good people within and outside of the church community. And for that matter, we are also told that these 7 men had to be men full of wisdom. They had to be men who had a practical knowledge so that they could handle various circumstances and various problems with various people. And most importantly, we are told today that they had to be men who were full of Holy Spirit. They had to be a man who walked closely with the Holy Spirit and whose life was aligned with the truth of the scripture. And accordingly, we are told in today's text that the congregation were pleased to hear these words from the apostles and that they indeed chose 7 men as identified in verse 5, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And when they lay these people before the apostles, we are told that the apostles laid their hands on them and commissioned them so that they will also care for the Hellenist widows and for that matter, anyone who are in need of who are in need within the community so that they will not lack any physical breads on their table. So in this way, today's text tells us the importance of gospel service in the life of the early church. The apostles saw that gospel service was equally non-negotiable, like gospel preaching. Now then, we need to pause here for a moment to ask perhaps the most important question in today's sermon. That is, so what? I mean, should we also care about gospel preaching and gospel service in our days, in our time? You know, it's good to read about how the apostle considered gospel preaching and gospel service to be non-negotiable in the early church community, but that was the early church. And I'm sure many of you think that, well, that sounds like an old story, but is it, does today's text have any significance in our lives, in our days right now? Or to put it plainly, should we also consider the gospel preaching and gospel service as a non-negotiable in our days, in our time, in our church? Well, my answer to you is yes, absolutely. We, Christ Presbyterian Church, and for that matter, all Christians around the world must consider preaching and service as too non-negotiable in the life of the Christian church because so many churches in our time fall into one or the other extreme when it comes to their theology of church. So you see, there are many churches in our time who think that preaching is no longer an important aspect of congregational life. You know, there are some churches who think that church is no more than just social club, where people come together, have a fellowship together, maybe do some community event, and they think that that's all the church is. They don't consider preaching as important anymore. But on the other hand, there are many churches who consider preaching to be the only absolute necessity in the church, and they don't care about anything else. And I think many Reformed churches fall into this camp. They think that as long as you preach and teach the gospel correctly, all is well. They don't think any other aspect of the church matters anymore. But today's text tells us that that is not true. Today's text tells us that preaching and service are both non-negotiable in the life of Christian church. You see, the gospel preaching is non-negotiable because just as early church Christians needed their spiritual bread, we also need spiritual bread for ourselves. Just as the early Christians needed the spiritual bread from the apostles for their spiritual well-being, we also need our spiritual bread for our spiritual nourishment and for our spiritual well-being. And good news is, the scripture tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ cares for our spiritual well-being. And that even though the apostles does not walk among us anymore, that he still chooses and sends the ministers of God so that they may distribute spiritual bread to each local congregation in our world. And for the matter, today's text also teaches us that we must value and insist upon the gospel service as well. Simply because church is not an ivory tower where people are just simply nourished intellectually. No, today's text teaches us that church is a community where Christians laugh in the time of joy together, where Christians cry together in the time of difficulties, where Christians walk together in the time of sadness, where Christians walk together in their pilgrim journey. Today's text teaches us that Christian church must care about gospel service because our Lord Jesus Christ cares for our physical well-being as well. So why should Christians insist upon gospel service and gospel preaching? Because church, my dear friends, it's no other than a community where our Lord Jesus Christ provides all-inclusive care to his flock. Our Lord Jesus Christ leads his flock to green pasture and make us lie down in the still water so that he may care for us and give us rest and joy spiritually and physically. So this morning we examine together how the 12 apostles teach us that gospel preaching and gospel service are two non-negotiables in the life of a Christian church. So let me go back to the very first question that I asked you. As I said, many churches have a hill that they will choose to die on. Every congregation has an aspect of congregational life that they consider to be non-negotiable. And I'm sure many of us have our own view as to what should be non-negotiable in the life of Christ Presbyterian Church. So let me ask you again. What do you, my dear friends, think? What do you think we should consider as non-negotiable in the life of Christ Presbyterian Church? What hills, my dear friends, should we choose to die on here in Christ Presbyterian Church? Our theological conviction? Our dress code? I don't know. Our worship style? How we do the communion every day, every week? Well, I propose to you from today's text that the hill that we should choose to die on, the aspect of congregational life that we must consider to be non-negotiable, is the gospel preaching and gospel service. And we must do this because our church is no other than Christ's church, where we hope to see Jesus Christ caring for us both spiritually and physically. And my hope is that whoever visited us today, those of you who visited us today, that you could see that our church consider gospel preaching and gospel service as two non-negotiables in our congregational life. But anyway, let's all pray together.